My name is Elizabeth Estabrooks, and I am a veteran of the U.S. Army. I joined in 1977 after being talked into it by a friend who didn't join because it would have meant giving up custody of her children. I left for basic training in January 1978, not as a WAC, but as a member of the newly integrated Army. At the time, I didn't realize that getting off the bus with men in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and being herded alongside them into a co-ed company area was different than the way it had been. Only later did I find out I was among the second wave of women to become part of this new Army. Two incidents started my understanding of how things would be different for me than the men in the Army. The first was when the drill sergeants said, upon our exit from the bus, "Listen up. We don't think there's any place in this man's army for girls, and we're about to spend the next 8 weeks proving to you just how much we mean that. If we have anything to do with it, none of you girlies will make it through." The second was the day I walked into the drill sergeant's office and said, "Drill sergeant, I want to be a ranger." His reply, "Estabrooks, get the F out of my office and don't come back in here with that BS. Girls aren't rangers." I cannot tell you how emotional I felt when First Lieutenant Shay Haver and Captain Kristen Greist graduated from Ranger School in 2015. They fulfilled my dream. For the next 3 years of my service, I lived the drill sergeant's attitude in ways from simple disdain to threatening intimidation. I was the first and only woman in my company for 6 months after arriving at Harvey Barracks in Kitzingen, Germany, with fewer than 1,000 women on base. Like the other women there, I fought my way through those 3 years, dealing with constant sexual harassment, endorsed by NCOs and officers alike, with few exceptions. One XO even said to me, "You know, Estabrooks, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Maybe you should try just being nicer to the guys." My love-hate relationship with the Army meant not talking about it. It was just something I had done. Yes, I had made some friends, and yes, I did like being in the Army. I loved what I stood for, and that I was involved in something bigger than me, something few people do, and that I was really, really good at it. But by age 21, when my 3 years were up, I had seen enough obscene gestures and crotch grabbing to last a lifetime, so I put it behind me. Until about 5 years ago, I didn't think of myself as a veteran. I served during the Cold War. I couldn't join a service organization. I had never been in a conflict. I was a woman, and over the years I had heard things like, "Women aren't real veterans," or people expressed doubt about the legitimacy of my service. After receiving my service-connected disability, I put the disabled veteran plate on my car, and without fail, every person who saw that plate said, "So your husband is a veteran?" Last spring, I added a bumper sticker that says, "Oregon woman veteran, proudly served," and a young man at a gas station in Pendleton, Oregon, after he finished pumping my gas, stuck his hand in my window with the intention to shake it. I took his hand and he said, "Thank you, ma'am, for your service." It was the first time I had ever heard those words, unbidden, from another person, not out of a sense of embarrassed obligation after making the mistake of thinking it was my husband's service, but because I was the veteran. Women don't join the military so people shake their hands and thank them. We join for many reasons, generally the same reasons men give. We don't move through life expecting to be thanked, but we do hope not to be left out of the conversation, not to be invisible. With this project, it is my hope that when you think of the word veteran, women come out of the darkness and into your view, visible as veterans.